Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look at several verses this morning, and a number of them, our main points, are going to be here out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is, of course, Solomon, who God had endued with special wisdom from on high. Solomon was an incredibly wise man, but you know, somebody who has wisdom doesn't mean they have wisdom in every area of life. Solomon wasn't very wise in his dealing with women. And we know that. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines, is that what it was? And that was not wise. Any man who'd do that's not a wise man. Amen. But he was given special wisdom. And through the book of Solomon's, if you want to get wisdom through the book of Proverbs, Solomon is giving and imparting to us wisdom that God had taught him. And I'll tell you, if there's a great need among independent Baptist people today to have wisdom. We live in a nutcase world, and we've got to have wisdom. We've got to have wisdom dealing with our homes, with our families, with business, with rearing our children. A great need of wisdom. And Solomon, really now, in his great burden for his son, he's speaking to him and he's encouraging him in several areas of life and imparting wisdom to him. And in verse 23, he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I want to talk a little bit, Sunday school hour, about the importance of your heart. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the privilege to serve you. We know, God, that you could use the rocks to cry out if you wanted to. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to co-labor with you. And Lord, I sure don't want to do this work today in my own strength and my own power. And I'm asking you, please, Holy Ghost of God, would you fill me and endue me and help me to present your truth in a way that would be helpful. And thank you for this good pastor and his family. And Lord, I sure would like to be a blessing to this church today. So please, Spirit of God, take charge and meet with us and manifest yourself in great power to make a difference in our hearts for thee today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, the heart here is not talking about that organ in our body that pumps our blood, but rather it's talking about that central part of our life, where our emotions and our goals and our motives come from. And he says we're to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Oftentimes you'll find in the scripture that the heart and spirit are used interchangeably. It is our central self, our emotions. In Jeremiah chapter 7, and please, Christian, you ought to forever refer back to this verse in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. For it tells us the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. A deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, in the day in which we live, that's not what the world tries to tell us. So a Christian has to keep in mind this heart is very deceitful. Our emotions are very deceitful. You know, I read where J. Sidwell Baxter said that living by feeling is the greatest detriment to the life of a Christian. And you've got to be careful, because our feelings and our emotions can go all over the place. And so we've got to keep in mind that heart is deceitful. We think we're okay when we're not okay. We can talk ourselves into something that is okay, but the Bible says is not okay. And so he says, keep your heart, for out of it are, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You ever said to somebody, boy, you got issues. We mean a lot of Baptists got issues. All of us have issues, and it all deals with our heart. So we know, because the natural heart, in our natural state, that heart is deceitful and above all things, desperately wicked. So we know that when we're born again, the Bible says you must believe in your heart when you get saved. It's not just a head knowledge. You have to believe in your heart. You see, in the heart is where repentance takes place. And so we must believe from our heart. And when we're saved, our spirit, our heart is born anew. And now we have the Spirit of God living within us that will help us to understand biblical things and understand truth. Notice Matthew chapter 12 with me. Matthew chapter 12. And verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, that's a good verse to remember. Because your mouth, what comes out of your mouth, reveals a lot about the condition of your heart. You got a filthy mouth, you got a filthy heart. You got a rebellious, sassy mouth, you got a rebellious heart. So out of that heart, how the mouth speaketh. In that heart are all the issues of life. Look at Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that come from the heart. So the Bible tells us here, and he's passing on to his son. Son, realize in life, you need to keep your heart with all diligence. The word keep is really a military term. It means guard. Put a fortress around. Guard your heart. Because out of it are the issues of life. What you allow to affect your heart is going to affect your whole life. Guard your heart. You know, my three boys used to amateur box when they were growing up. We like violent stuff. And when they were boxing, the very first thing their coach taught them, he was an old-time guy and had five boys that won national champions in Golden Gloves boxing, and he knew his stuff. The very first thing he taught them, and really just worked on them about this for a long time, was to keep their guard up. Keep your guard up. And boxing all times, keep your guard up. And that's what he's telling his son. Guard your heart. With all diligence, all of your effort, all of your zeal, guard your heart. Make it a focus of life that you protect and guard your heart. In Ephesians chapter 6, when it tells us to put on the whole armor, it says to put on that shield of faith, that shield that guards the heart area. He said, protect your heart. We ought to be sure we're careful to guard our heart. I'm going to tell you, everything the devil throws at you is to affect your heart. Your preacher will tell you, thank God he comes and helps us at football camp. We couldn't have football camp without all the preachers that come and help us. But he'll tell you, we see a multitude of decisions at football camp about pornography. You know why pornography is so rampant? Because the devil knows it affects the heart. It desensitizes the heart. Somebody gets wrapped up in that, their heart is never the same. Except the grace of God do a healing there. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Bitterness affects the heart. It is a root that defiles every part of us because it affects our heart. And that's why the shield of faith, we've got to exercise our trust in God Almighty for everything that comes in life. I'm telling you, there's a ton of folks that have a lot of issues because something happened sometime in their life that they allowed themselves to get bitter. Mom and dad didn't treat them right. Preacher didn't treat them. This person we looked up to didn't live up to it. You know, this person took advantage of me. All those things. If you don't trust God with all of that, amen, that bitterness will settle in your heart. And it will affect you the rest of your life. Out of that heart are the issues of life. Guard your heart against bitterness. I tell you, you just need to make up your mind. I'm not going to let anything draw me into that attitude of bitterness.
Amen. Amen. Good.
My dad pastored, and when I was in fourth grade, my dad went through a time where he just literally had a broken heart. In fact, the church he was pastoring was full of a lot of critics. Church was doing well. It was a good-sized church, but full of a lot of people just picking little things, you know. My dad let it get to him. A doctor told my dad, "Mr. Booth, you're going to have to get out of the ministry. You're going to die." And literally his health was failing, and my dad got out of the ministry over the next 7 years during my teenage years. Still went to church. We still were faithful in church, but Dad was out of the ministry during that time. When I was a freshman in Bible college, my dad went back into ministry. He began to pastor again, and I'll never forget when I was pastoring my very first church. And God was good to us, and I was called to pastor this little church. There's about 50 people, and about 48 of them had one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel, you know. But they were sweet people, and they didn't have a whole lot of energy left, but they said, as a young preacher, they said, "Man, we'll pay the bills. You get out there and hit the doors." And God was good, and we saw the church growing, people getting saved. And I'll never forget when I got a phone call from my dad. And he was pastoring now again in Northern California, and he said to me, "Son, your mom and I are going through it again." And I said, "Going through what?" He said, "Well, you know, our song director, this adult Sunday school class teacher, and was a deacon. And well, son, he spread some lies that he gathered about five families meeting with him at his home in the church I didn't know anything about." I tell you, that's just as wicked as could be.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And my dad said, "You know, by the time I found out, I called a meeting with all of our men. I said, 'Men, you can ask any question. This is absolute lies.'" And he said, "Son, everybody stood by me except those five families that were meeting with that fellow, and they left." And I want to tell you, as a young preacher, it made me so mad. I mean, I said, "Dear God, I hope you judge that guy, and I'd be a willing vessel for you to use." Amen. I wanted to pop his head off in Christian love.
Amen.
And I'll never forget what my dad told me. And I needed to hear it as a young preacher. And he said, "Son, your mom and I decided years ago we're not going to lose the blessing of loving people."
Amen.
Man, I needed to hear that. You see, if you allow bitterness to get in your heart, I'm going to tell you, you have just committed spiritual suicide as far as serving God.
Right.
You can't minister to people when you got bitterness in your heart.
Right.
You can't. We just passed Thanksgiving time. You can't be a thankful Christian when you get bitter while you got bitterness in your heart. Guard your heart. Guard it against bitterness. Guard it against doubt. Don't let the old devil cause you to think that God's not a good God, and that whatever's allowed into your life is not because God has your best interest at heart. Don't let the devil lie to you about that. Guard your heart against worldliness. Worldliness desensitizes you to spiritual things. You get enamored with the world. The world is governed by the god of this world, who the Bible tells us is Satan. And he will draw your heart away from God.
Amen.
Guard your heart. Matthew chapter 22, when those Pharisees and scribes tried to corner our Lord and Savior, and they said, "What's the great commandment? I mean, really, you know everything. What's the great commandment?" They're trying to trick him. And he come back and he said, "The first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart." To keep your heart in love with him. Guard your heart with all diligence. Do what you have to. Guard your heart. Don't allow the television to influence your heart. Don't allow wrong music to influence your heart. Don't allow wrong relationships to influence your heart. Don't allow wrong talk to influence. Guard it. Protect it. How, you know, you independent Baptists, you got all these rules and regulate these do's and don'ts, you know, all these standards. You know why? Because we need to guard our heart.
Amen.
Got to protect your heart. Romans 13:14 says, "But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust thereof." Got to guard your heart with all diligence. That's a lot of effort. And then I want you to see this. Go to chapter 23 with me. verse 19. Here he says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." Now here it says, guide your heart. First he says, son, keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it come the issues of life. Here now he says, my son, guide thine heart in the way. Guide it. Now that's contrary to what the world says, because the world says follow your heart. You don't want to follow your heart, because it can deceive you. You want to guide your heart in the way. And notice that, in the way. He's saying you want to lead your heart in honesty and integrity. Guide it. I'm going to tell you, truth is the greatest nourishment for your heart. You want to guide your heart? You can only guide it by truth. It is the greatest nourishment for the heart. John 17:17, our Lord is praying to His Father in heaven. And He said, Father, sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is how you guide your heart in the way. I'm telling you, you don't have a chance to ever develop as a Christian if you don't learn to get in the Word of God and study it. If you don't get in, that's why it's essential to not miss Sunday school and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Because all week long, all these hours around us, we've got the devil bombarding us from this old world. And we've got to come to the Word of God and have it guide us. You ever start thinking, well, you know, maybe they got a point. And then you come to church and say, nope, they don't have a point. You see, it guides your heart. That means you've got to be honest with yourself. Got to be honest with yourself. And that's what preaching's all about. It's about bringing you to face that truth, that mirror of truth, that looking glass that James talks about, the Word of God. Because when you look at it, it'll shine on you and show you you ain't what you thought you were. I'm going to tell you something that grieves me. I travel around the country, and God's been awful merciful to let me preach in a lot of places. I'm going to tell you, it grieves me. How many churches we have with good men of God that whose lives and hearts are committed to the Lord, to serve the Lord. They pray, they study, they come with a message they feel that God has given them to help the people. And how people could sit in the pews week after week after week after week and never go to an altar. I don't comprehend that. Because the truth is, we all have a ways to go to become like Jesus yet. Amen? None of us are like Him yet. I sure want to be. But I know I got a long ways to go. My wife reminds me of that. Amen? And the way that we understand how much further we got to go is because of the Word of God. It shows us the way. And when we hear that, and we in the Spirit of God has shown us the truth, that's when we need to respond and not just be hearers, but doers as well. My son, guide thine heart in the way. Got to be honest about yourself. No, fact is, preacher preached on going soul winning. I haven't shared the gospel with somebody for 6 months. Oh, the preachers preach about that prayer life. Boy, I skipped 4 out of 7 days last week in my prayer life. You've got to be honest with yourself. A number of years ago, I wasn't feeling real well. Energy level wasn't very good. And my wife, I don't like going to doctors. I'm not anti-doctors. Some people are, but I don't like going there. They usually don't have good news. My wife finally persuaded me to go to the doctor. Doctor said, you know, he said, I just really feel that we ought to do a heart cath. Your EKG shows okay, but I just sense that we ought to do a heart cath. Well, you know, when they do a heart cath, they go up this vein with a camera in your heart and they look around your heart, you know, and you're awake. And you're watching all this on a monitor. The doctors are looking on the monitor. And so they do this heart cath. And I'm thinking, I'm fine, you know, I'm fine. I'm laying there on the table, the doc's looking. He said, "Now this side of your heart looks great." So that's good. I kind of knew that. And then he's looking on the other side and he said, "Uh-oh." Now you don't want to hear that when you're laying on your back and they're looking inside your heart. He said, we got a blockage here. I said, "Don't worry about it, Doc. I'm an evangelist. I travel all the time. We eat a lot of McDonald's. That's a McDonald's French fry stuck in there." I did say that. He didn't think it was funny. Some of these doctors have no sense of humor. But you know, it's easy to convince yourself everything's okay in that heart. You come to church, and the preacher opens up the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to shine a light. But you've got to be honest with yourself. And you've got to be honest with others. Guide thine heart in the way. Now, I want you to notice that little phrase at the end there, in the way. It's used several times in the Word of God, especially in the book of Proverbs. The way. What's it talking about? Remember when the Apostle Paul, before he got saved, Saul of Tarsus, he went and he got permission from the magistrates to go and find people that were in that way. The way of following Christ. The word way means a course of life or a lifestyle. A path of life. And I want you to understand this. And young people, mark this down. The Bible doesn't address every little thing of the Christian life. But it does give us principles that apply. There's some things the Bible doesn't specifically mention. But in principle, when it's applied, we understand. So when it talks about guide thine heart in the way, the truth will guide you through its principles. In the way of following Christ. There's some things that may not be. It doesn't mention in the Bible. Baggy pants that hang down with your underwear showing. Right? That's not in the Bible. But in the way. In the course of life for a Christian. In the course of godliness and holiness. It doesn't fit. I mean, it not only doesn't fit you. But it doesn't fit in the way. Amen. There's things that are biblical principles that apply that are not specifically. That's why God gives you a shepherd. Amen, Brother Booth. To help you making application of principles as we're walking through this old world that Satan's the God of. We're in enemy territory and the devil's throwing every dart that he can at us. And God gives us a shepherd because we're sheep. That help guide us with the truth in the way of following Christ. Wouldn't you much rather be too cautious than not take enough caution and displease the Lord that loved you enough to die for you and shed His blood for you? Son, guide thine heart in the way. Make sure the truth is guiding each step. A heart's deceitful. Emotions can trap you. I'm sure your preacher could tell a lot of stories as I can in the ministry of young ladies that got to a certain age. You tried to teach them that they ought to be careful of who they spend time with and allow themselves to get enamored with some guy, and all of a sudden they're enamored with some guy. And they didn't use biblical principles. And they didn't use godly counsel. And pretty soon, their emotions got them involved to where they aren't willing to listen anymore. But if we keep our hearts with all diligence and guide thine heart in the way, it protects us from those foolish traps the devil has for us. Soap operas are not truth. Amen. They won't guide you in the way. Most of the blogs on the internet are not truth. Chat rooms that you don't know who you're talking to. It's not truth. That's the way Satan traps you. Instead of guiding your heart in the way, you're letting the world trap you into foolishness. It's amazing, those who claim to be the intellects of the day and through history, it's amazing how they'll go back and they'll quote Aristotle and they'll quote this philosopher and that philosopher, and they've studied all the, in their opinion, great minds of the past. But they won't go to the greatest mind, which is God Almighty that created everything,
amen,
and seek His wisdom and His guidance. Guide thine heart. Then notice this. Proverbs 23, and verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. So we're to guard our heart, we're to guide our heart, and here it says to give our heart. Give your heart. Now, I want you to understand, you're not to give your heart to everybody, because you'll end up in trouble. But there are certain ones that Scripture specifically tells us to give our heart to. Here's Solomon saying, son, give me thine heart. Son, I can't teach you. I can't help protect you if you don't give me your heart. I want to tell you something, young people, one of the greatest traps the devil has is to get you, as you get to be teenagers, to distance yourself from your mom and dad.
Right. Yeah.
It's one of the greatest traps the devil has.
Amen.
I have never in 40 years of ministry ever known one, I can't think of one preacher, that ever went wrong that stayed close to his pastor and close to his parents.
Right. Amen.
I don't know of one. Son, give me your heart. Son, I can't guide you. I can't help you. I can't. Now listen, moms and dads don't know everything.
Right.
And when you're a mom and dad, you won't know everything either. And we don't understand all the time. But a mom and dad that loves you wants to protect you.
Amen.
And wants to guide you. And we have been down the road a little ways. And there's some things that we are aware of and we can see that, you know, hey, this is a pattern. This happens. Don't go that way. But you won't get it if you don't give your heart. You're to give your heart. Fathers are the head of a home.
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you, that puts a huge responsibility on those of us who are dads. Huge responsibility. Because you see, men, you ought to search the Scriptures enough to have the right kind of wisdom to help guide them. That's quiet. It's not just to come to church and have the preacher preach you. You ought to be studying your Bible every day. And we're to take very serious how fragile the heart of a child is. That heart's very fragile. And when it's broken, takes a long time to heal. Fathers are to always lead with honesty and integrity. And a young person follows the will of God and gives their heart to a dad. You got to be careful you don't crush that heart. But you lead it with great wisdom. We're to give our hearts to a father, because God in His sovereign design puts fathers at the head of a home. And He leads that way. You're to give your heart one day to your spouse. If you have a spouse now, or if you don't have a spouse now and one day have a spouse, we're commanded to give our hearts to our spouse. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another. In our homes, the father is the head of the home. Doesn't matter what the ERA movement says.
Amen.
The Word of God set up where dad is to lead the home. He's got to make final decisions. Doesn't mean that the lady is any less, the wife is any less. But for that for that dynamic to work, there's got to be a giving your heart one to another.
Amen.
Submitting one to another. It means that we're to say, hey, you know, I want what's best for you. And she says, I want what's best for you. And we're giving our hearts one to another.
Right.
And I want to tell you something, folks. Our children in our homes desperately need to see that with their mom and dad.
Amen.
Submitting your hearts one to another. The word submission is really just, it means it's not just an action. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of the heart. Honey, you have my heart. You have. Listen, my wife and I, we're talking, well, honey, let's go out and get something to eat. Okay, where do you want to go? Oh, I don't care. Where do you want to go? Well, I don't really don't care. What do you want to? Well, why don't you, what do you want? We end up fighting over what, trying to figure out who wants to go where. But it ought to be, it doesn't have to be my way all the time. Now, if it's a biblical principle, it has to be that way. But we're to give our hearts one to another. And understand this, spouses. That heart is very fragile. And when you crush your spouse's heart, it takes an awful long time for that heart to heal. I've done enough marital counseling. I've seen God put marriages back together that look absolutely impossible. But it takes a long time. It takes a long time to rebuild that relationship when it's been busted. Give our hearts to our spouse. You see, our heart affects all the issues of life. And sir, how you deal with that heart of your wife, and ma'am, how you deal with that heart of your husband, affects all the issues of life. A wounded heart heals very, very slowly. And that's why you must be careful when a heart's been entrusted to you.
Amen.
Now, young people, hear this. It's one of the reasons you don't give your heart to just anybody and everybody.
Amen.
It's one of the reasons why, regardless of what the world sets as a standard to be cool as a teenager, you don't want to get in a serious relationship when you're 15, 16 years old.
Amen.
You don't want to give your heart to somebody at that age because there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
My son who pastors in Iowa, John, he worked at Mount Salem Revival Grounds, a camp in West Virginia. One summer he was 15. He came home. He said, Dad, he said, I met this girl. He said, she's a little bit older than I am, but she grew up in Brother Vineyard's church and really good girl. She was working there. We just kind of hit it off. And he said, you think it'd be okay if I write her? She lives in Oklahoma. At that time, we were living in Illinois. And I said, no, son. You're 15. Why start a relationship now? I said, if it's the will of God, God knows how to put that thing back together in His time. I said, sir, don't get into a long-distance relationship. And, you know, and it messes up youth groups. I mean, young people.
Right.
Well, you know, we're going together.
Yep.
And 2 months later, you know, I saw him talking with her.
Yep.
And all the girls say, yeah, boy, she's awful, isn't she? Boy, she's wicked, busting up this wonderful relationship. And you got side. The guys are saying, oh, a bunch of dumb girls. And you, there's no unity in the youth. You know why? Because that's a bunch of foolishness that doesn't need to happen.
Yes, it is. You're right.
And then you give your heart to somebody before it's time. And that breaks up. And you're hurt. And those issues begin in your life that you will take down the road into marriage one day. You don't give your heart to just anybody and everybody.
Amen.
You give your heart to the one in God's will, in God's time. So I said, son, don't. By the grace of God, he actually listened. As far as I know, they didn't write each other. He ended up, you know, finishing high school. He went to Bible college up at Brother Gomez's. He's at Bible college. And he calls and he says, hey, there's a young lady here. We've kind of been talking. Well, now he's at the age he can begin to think that way. He said, I'd like to bring her home for Christmas if I could. We'll ride in different cars, you know, we'll make arrangements and everything. And her dad's a missionary. And I said, that's fine. Christmas time, she came down. Her dad was on the mission field. So She didn't have a place to go, so she came down and was at our home for Christmas, and a nice young lady, and they went back to college, you know, and about a month later he calls me on the phone. He said, "Dad, I found out she doesn't have the same convictions I have. She doesn't really even want to be a pastor's wife or preacher's wife. She just basically at Bible college because her daddy said to go to Bible college. But she wants to be involved in a bunch of worldly things that are against my convictions." And he was pretty brokenhearted. But I said, "Son, thank God. Thank God that he showed you now.
Amen. Amen.
Before you ended up a disaster down the road." Well, 2 weeks later, guess who came to see her friend at Bible college? That girl that he wanted to write back when he was 15. She came up to see one of her friends. She was going to OBC. John was going to Providence. And she came up to see her friend, and John saw her, and she saw him, and they connected. Now the time was right. And thank God he listened.
Amen.
And God put it together in his timing. But you don't want to give your heart to just anybody and everybody. Because one day you want to be able to give your heart completely to that spouse in the will of God as the God wants it to be. So he says, "Son, give me your heart." You're to give your heart to a dad. You're to give your heart in marriage to the spouse one day. And let me say this. Go to Hebrews chapter 13 with me. Look at verse 7. "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." Now, who would that be? Hello? A pastor. "Whose faith follow," considering the end of their conversation. Doesn't say the guy on the internet, who you don't know, and you don't know how he lives, and you don't know how he treats his family, and you don't, he'll never come visit you in the hospital. Don't get enamored with those guys. God gives you a pastor. "Whose faith follow," look at down at verse 17, "obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." There's that word again. Submit yourself, give your hearts. "For they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you." Just like with a dad, you can't teach and guide somebody that doesn't give their heart to you. As a pastor, I pastored 20 years. I love people. You can't help those that won't be helped.
Amen.
You can't pastor people that won't be pastored. You can't pastor somebody that doesn't give their heart to you. Amen. Just like in athletics. I love sports. But in sports, you can't take an athlete from this place to this place if he's a know-it-all and won't give his heart to be taught. You can't coach somebody that won't be coached. And you can't pastor somebody that won't be pastored. And a pastor in God's design has a part in that guarding and guiding your heart. And you're to give your heart to that pastor. One day he's got to give an account to the Lord for how he shepherds you. You give your heart to the pastor. I pastored in Houghton for 11 years, Louisiana. We had a young lady in the church. She was a young teenager when I first went there. Her dad and mom, just wonderful people. Very, very faithful. Love the Lord. To this day, faithful. And, they made a lot of sacrifices to help in so many ways in the church. Their daughter, she was the oldest of their two children, and their daughter was never caused me a problem. Went to our Christian school, never got in trouble, followed the rules. But when I would preach, there was no response. When the kids would be standing around together, teenagers standing around, I'd stop and I'd joke around with them, and it wouldn't matter. She wouldn't laugh for nothing. And I am hilarious. I could never get a response from her. Just when she graduated from our Christian school, it wasn't 2 months. that she came to my office because her dad made her. Because she went to her dad and said, I don't feel that God wants me in this church anymore. I need to go somewhere else. And her dad said, well, you've got to go and talk to Brother Booth. She came in. She said, well, I'm here because my dad told me I've got to come in. And I just want you to know I'm leaving the church. And I said, why? Well, I don't know. I just don't feel like this is where I belong. And I looked at her. And I said, listen, I love you. I have prayed for you daily since I've been your pastor. You've never let me be your pastor. Why? Why wouldn't you ever let me be your pastor? I've tried. I've never done anything that I know to hurt you. I've wanted to be kind to you and help you. But you just never would let me be your pastor. I said, I hope things go well for you. But it hurts my heart that you just never let me be your pastor. She didn't say two words. She left. 6 months down the road, she ran off with a guy that just got out of jail. Today, she has 7 children by 4 different men, of whom she hasn't married any of them. For the first couple, my wife and I'd go to the hospital, give her a gift for the baby, always expressed our love. But I'm going to tell you this, you can't pastor people that won't let you pastor.
Right, absolutely
right. It's sad. All I want to do is help her. All I want to do is help guide her and guard her.
Amen.
So she could have a blessed life. He says to his son, son, keep your heart, guard it with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Son, give me your heart so I can help protect you and guide you. Guard your heart. Give your heart. Guide your heart. Guard, guide, and give. Your heart is so important to all of life.